The Nicky Byrne Show with Jenny Green on 2FM.
Proudly sponsored by Aldi. We've dropped our prices on hundreds of products. Even more reasons to swap to Aldi today.
It's Nicky and Jenny with you till 2pm today. Now, Jennifer,
yes.
I know you love sharing this studio with me because I spent many a year in a boy band.
Yes. You know me too well.
I know you're a dance DJ and you don't know a lot of boy bands, but you must have heard of JLS.
I have to be honest, I watched the X Factor I watched it every year up to the year after JLS were on it.
Yeah.
And I kind of stopped watching after that because I thought that was as good as it was going to get.
Oh, look at you, sweet talking.
There you go.
Aston Merigold is on the line, previously of JLS, now out in his own. Aston, very good to talk to you.
Great to talk to you guys. How are you doing? It's very smooth as well, I must say. It's very smooth.
Thank you very much.
You're welcome.
He's talking about you, I thought he was talking about me. Aston, it's good to catch you up with you. Tell us, when did you guys split up? How long has it been now? About 2 years, 3 years?
About 2 years now. 2 years, yes. And then about 18 months since the final concert.
The final concert, farewell, yeah. Until the reunion. I'm allowed to say that. So tell us, I know what it's like. So tell us what it was like for you guys. First of all, before we get into your solo stuff, when you're in the band like JLS and you guys finally decide, because this is interesting for me to hear another band's point of view on it. When you finally kind of decide, you know what, lads, we've talked about it for long enough now, it's time to actually knock this on the head. How did that make you feel?
Yeah, do you know what? It's obviously really weird, as you know, but it's probably like the worst breakup you can ever imagine. So it's like you would a normal relationship breakup. You know what I mean, with a girl, you would like set her down and be like, right, you know, this isn't really working. That kind of thing. That for me would probably be easier than when us four sat down and had the conversation. I think because it was from being in a band and seeing everyone every single day and just. You know, basically, not really working. All you're doing for like every single day is having a laugh with your mates and going on stage and loving life. And you know, for that to come to an end, it was very hard to kind of get our heads around. But we all felt we were definitely in the right space, and we've learned a lot over the years to actually move on to solo careers. And you know, we had each other's backs fully. So here we are now.
For us, it happened over quite a number of years, actually. Was it the same for you guys, or was it something that kind of happened quickly?
Do you know what? It was quite quickly, really, because it wasn't like a number of years, because we were riding away, we were loving it, and, it just came to that time where we were like, okay, we just finished the 5-album deal, and we were like, okay, offered another 5-album deal, and we were like, do we really want to do this again for 5 albums? And then, you know, everyone's personal lives were changing, and you know, everyone was kind of dipping into different things, and creatively they were changing as well. So it was I think that hit us at the right time, as everyone was kind of going through a lot of major changes. So we think it was definitely written that way for us, and we're all very, very happy with it now.
It was amazing how it turned out as well, Aston, because you were, until One Direction, you were one of the first acts who didn't win it, who actually was more successful than any of the other acts, pretty much. I mean, were you surprised by the reaction you guys got? It was incredible. Like, I mean, I remember watching the final when you didn't win and Alexander Burke, you know, got it that night, and I saw the disappointment, I remember, but you guys did so well, and you probably had less pressure on you because you didn't win.
Do you know what? That's exactly it. I think for us, we had a great label behind us, great team around us as well at the time. And for us, it was just like, you know, we haven't really got any pressure. We've just got now take hold of an opportunity, you know, more so than anything else. So, we didn't really feel any pressure. We just wanted to, you know, release the music that we liked and you know, kind of got, I suppose, more of a say than we would if we won the show at the time. So, we were very, very happy with the outcome of it, obviously.
Right, so that brings us on then to what you do next, right? So JLS, you're in a juggernaut like what JLS is or was, and then you decide, you wake up one morning and you go, right, that's done and dusted. Brilliant years of my life. You know, I have a few quid to keep me going. What next for Aston?
Do you know, it was actually quite funny, and I'm sure you can relate. It's that thing of our last ever gig was basically in the O2 Arena, and obviously you've got all them thousands of people in London, hometown gig. It was amazing, and then yeah, the next day, that was it. There was no phone calls from like tour managers or anything like that saying you have to be here at this time or anything. It was just silence, you know. And from then it was like, okay, it's time to kind of, I suppose, I took a couple of months anyway, just to get away. I went over to the States and just got in the studio and just started writing songs, not necessarily for me or anything like that, just to get my head out of, I suppose, the JLS headspace and, you know, try to break the habits of what I was used to for several years. And, you know, just try to, I suppose, get over it that way.
Do you know, the next morning after we woke up, I reached for the phone to order room service.
Realised you're
not home. And my wife answered and went, get down here and make it yourself. So tell us then, like, your stuff, when you want to go solo, did you always know you were going to go solo and it was just a matter of time before you got your head around of, you know, when to launch it and stuff like that?
Do you know what? Yeah, I think, obviously, from when we made the decision to the final gigs, I was playing around with it. I was like, yeah, definitely it's something I want to continue with music. And then, you know, you do have them doubts because you kind of go, oh, but this is so amazing. Can you live up to this expectation? And, you know, you go through all them emotions. But, you know, a couple of months, as I said, after, you know, doing all the writing process, it was like, right, okay, do you know what? I'm ready now. Went and found a label, was with a great new management team. Yeah, and then just, you know, started to set it up piece by piece. I didn't rush into anything, which was nicer. Got to take my time and really plan and focus on what I wanted to do next.
And the rest of the lads I know have kind of done a few bits and pieces, like with Love Bug and OWS. And I hear JB is a farmer.
JB has stepped out of the sort of spotlight in a sense and gone into farm life. Yeah.
Is he really, honestly, you know, you read this
is that
stuff.
A joke?
Is he really a farmer?
Because he basically bought a lovely place and obviously it was surrounded by farmland and everything, and he just thought, you know what, why not just, you know, get it all working and just and make a life around it on a farm. So yeah, he's definitely swapped it, done a total 360 there.
That was amazing.
Right, so for you, producer-wise and maybe co-writing-wise, I know you love somebody like Bruno Mars or Justin Timberlake or whatever. Who was your dream then to get in maybe co-writing with, or what style did you want to come back with?
For me, it was all about inspiration and you know, everything that I've kind of grown up listening to. So, I mean, obviously, yeah, like your recent day Justins and Brunos and Ushers and them kind of artists, definitely look up to them. But, you know, I went a bit further back and went for, you know, the Michael Jacksons, the James Browns, Prince, that type of soulful pop vibe that, you know, it was just the kind of that infectious pop sound. You know what I mean? That's what I kind of wanted to grab. And, you know, I had the opportunity. I've met some amazing people over the years that I've written with and became great friends with. And every time we've been in the studio, as you know, you go in and you've always got a brief to write to because you're obviously writing for the brand, whatever it may be. And, you know, obviously us being JLS, you had to think about everyone else. But this time it was like I got in with friends in the studio and we literally just wrote songs for writing songs' sake. Do you know what I mean? We're just writing anything we felt like writing that day instead of writing to a brief, you know. So we just tried to get the best pop songs possible.
And the single, I know, Get Stupid, it is very kind of Bruno Mars and Michael Jackson, but I was reading that you had co-written that and then you sort of left it and went back to it. Is that right?
Yes, it was a song that you kind of started at first. I'd written the song with Karen Paul and Sonny J Mason, and we kind of just left the song literally on a hard drive for a week or two, and you know, it started well, but we were never like, oh, this is going to be, you know, we think this is going to be the one, but they're often the ones that kind of creep up on you, and then, you know, you actually realise that this is the this is the one to go with. So yeah, it could have been out a lot sooner if we'd realised that, but you know, we kind of left it a little while.
So when is the single out now, Aston? When, and the album?
The single's out on the 24th, so it's Friday coming.
Okay.
The single, and then the album, expect another single before the album, but the album will drop in and around October.
Okay. Brilliant. Yeah. The video for Get Stupid is absolutely brilliant. Where did you film that?
Thanks, mate. That was actually filmed in LA, Los Angeles. Basically, tried to find like a really like old school retro mall. Do you remember, like, you know, like Back to the Future and Ferris Bueller's Day Out, that kind of vibe where the retro look. That, I wanted that kind of vibe about it, something that was quite dull at first and dull shops, and then try create excitement around that. So we found one in I think it's like South Los Angeles there. So yeah, that worked out pretty well.
It is good. If you haven't seen it, check it out. It's pretty cool. And take this in a positive way. It's very Bruno. It's very colourful. A lot of dancing. I've really enjoyed it, actually, I have to say.
Well, great done. Stuff. Thank you.
Okay, last question. I'm going to leave it on this, Aston. If you had to pick one thing you miss about the boys or JLS, I'm not looking for a dirt here. I'm just wondering, what do you miss most about the times being in a band like that?
Do you know what it's got to be? I think it's just got to be like the we used to call it Viano time, because we used to obviously travel around in one of their massive Viano kind of vans, and some of the conversations and some of the banter you would have in these vans were just too much. Like some of the stupid stuff someone would say, and they would just get ripped. You know, it's like the whole day you would just you'd be like, you know what I mean, like prey on that kind of stuff, and literally someone to get stick for like a day, the whole week, whatever it may be. So yeah, I definitely missed the banter about it.
Yeah, absolutely. And if people could see those moments, it would be you can't actually film those, because it doesn't happen the same when the camera's on you. But, but there you go. Listen, Aston, it's a pleasure to talk to you, and I think both of us want to wish you the best of luck. And if you're in Dublin soon, definitely jump into us, and we'll have another catch up.
Oh, 100%, amazing. Thank you so much, guys, as well.
Aston Merigold, everybody.